Are you a woman who has struggled with the secret shame that goes with viewing pornography and other sexual sin? Are you tired of fighting the same battle and making the same promises to the Lord, only to continue to find yourself committing the same sexual sins over and over? My name is Kim, and I have good news for you. No matter how long you've struggled, there is hope for you. You can be free to experience the abundant life Jesus came to give you. I struggled in the darkness of sexual addiction for 23 years and now walk in freedom. I wrote 40 Days of Purity for Women with you in mind. If you are ready to take a step of faith, this course, I believe, could be your catapult to the purity your heart longs for.
To register for the 40 Days of Purity for Women course, go to purelifeacademy.org and click on the Women link. That's purelifeacademy.org. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I have back on the program our delightful friend and colleague, Dr. Joy Skarka, to talk about her new book, Her Freedom Journey, A Guide Out of Porn and Shame to Authentic Intimacy, co-authored with Dr. Julie Slattery. Joy shares her powerful personal story in the mission of Authentic Intimacy, which is a ministry that's dedicated to helping individuals reclaim God's design for sexuality. We then discuss the unique challenges that women face with pornography, the importance of understanding God's unconditional love, and the journey towards sexual integrity, which emphasizes the power of truth, engaging community, and sharing one's story to overcome shame and find lifelong healing. For more information about Joy, the book, and the ministry, visit AuthenticIntimacy.com. For additional resources, visit BeBroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to be putting in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we would always love it if you would rate and review the podcast after listening so that this can help others to find it. Now let's get into today's powerful conversation with Joy. Well, all right. We've got Dr. Joy Skarka with us. How's it going, Joy?
Hi, Jonathan. Great to be here.
Yes, it's fun to have you back on the podcast. So it was actually June of 2020 that we aired your last interview with us. And that's where we were talking about freedom and healing from shame, addiction, and abuse. And you shared your story and shared just how God had just done such an amazing work in your life. And we will put that link in the show notes so that people who may want to go back and hear a little bit more of your story and background. But first of all, before we get into this exciting new book that you and Dr. Julie Slattery have co-authored, can you tell us a little bit about Authentic Intimacy and your role in that ministry?
Yes, thanks for having me on, Jonathan. And when I told my husband I had this podcast today, because he's met you, my husband has met Jonathan, he's like, I'd go to war with that man. He's such a great man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so just a shout out to you and just how great of a humble leader you are and servant. So thanks for what you're doing. But yeah, so at Authentic Intimacy, and we get to partner with you at Be Broken a lot, which I love. It's so fun. We create a ton of resources all to help people reclaim God's design for sexuality. And so whether that's in a book, a podcast, a blog, online small groups, that's a huge thing we offer. And Jonathan has led them with us before. We just help create these safe spaces where people can talk about whatever it is that they're struggling with, or to just have a better foundation of what does the Bible say about God's word, about God's design for sexuality. So I get to be a part of it and be on the team with Julie Slattery and our whole team.
Yeah. And so you and Julie have just recently released a book that's entitled Her Freedom Journey, A Guide Out of Porn and Shame to Authentic Intimacy.
Yes.
So yeah, and you're showing
here
the book for our video viewers. She's got the book right there. So I want to start with just first, what led you and Julie to write this book? Like, tell us about the journey to get to this point of writing this book together.
Yeah, and so if you haven't heard my story, you can watch that episode that Jonathan's going to link. But it's just so cool, Jonathan, how God takes your pain and your brokenness and turns it into your passion. And that's what he did for me. He gave me this story, and then I just felt this deep calling to want to help other women, specifically Christian women, walk through the pain and the shame around pornography and other unwanted sexual behaviors. Because when I was struggling with it in college, I couldn't find resources that talked specifically to women, for women. Now there are some that exist, but back then I didn't know of any. So this is kind of the book that I wish I had back then when I was like really struggling with this. And one of the reason I created it was I wanted it to be a workbook format where they can journal as they go, readers can pause, and then use it for small group as well. So you can use it in a small group setting. There's discussion questions, that kind of thing. So I wanted it to be very interactive and able to be used in one-on-one discipleship and group setting.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a pretty good mix of listeners between men and women. We've got a lot of parents. So paint a picture for us of the woman that's really probably going to get the most out of this book. I mean, you mentioned about your own story, but I'm thinking about the reason I want to say it that way is because I want parents to hear this too, so that they can also be looking and thinking about maybe their grown children or whatever, grandparents, just to be able to say, oh, hey, because it may not be the person that's specifically listening to us right now that is going to need the direct help from this book, but it may be the person listening right now that knows a woman that goes, oh, I think that would be a good book.
Right. That's so true. And we get asked that, like, at what age this book would be recommended. I would love to see mothers and daughters go through it together, teenagers. You could definitely take a teenage daughter and mom through this book together. So that could be one situation. Another, like a church leader or a church lay leader, small group leader, someone who's discipling the next generation or other women, that would be awesome to see them pick it up just to be educated. Because, you know, Jonathan, and I'm sure you get this response all the time, people say to me, really? Like, women struggle with porn? Like, people ask you that. Do people say that to you in your ministry? It comes up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Even probably for men, sometimes people are like, oh, this is still an issue. I don't know. But yeah, so that I get asked that all the time. And so even to educate yourself on how this is an issue, how it impacts the body, the brain, the spiritual implications, all those different pieces are in the book. And so I think it'd be great for that person as well.
Yeah, because when you think about it, I mean, and yes, we do get that question sometimes, and people look at us blankly when we say, hey, there are resources out there for women who struggle with porn and all this. And I just think, you know, and you guys do this so well at Authentic Intimacy, right? You're pointing to God's design for sexuality. When you think about it, we are made from the very beginning, male and female. Sexuality is part of bearing the image of God. So of course, if you're a human, you're going to have some kind of struggle with bearing that image in your sexuality because we're in a sinful world. So you start the book out with the first chapter is the problem of porn. So tell us, okay, first of all, why do you start there? And like, what are you trying to really convey in mapping out sort of what the problem of porn is?
Yeah. So a lot of women, they'll say, you know, I only look every once in a while, or, hey, at least I'm not having sex with someone. We live in this hookup culture, so it's just so casual. And so sometimes we convince ourselves that it's okay because, oh, it's distant. You know, we can remove ourselves. Nobody has to know. It's something that can be done in secret, all these different pieces. And so really helping a reader understand why this is actually a big deal, you know, why this is a problem and how it's going to impact you and your relationships. Especially, you don't think about how it impacts your relationship with God and others. So not just yourself. You think, oh, this is only impacting me. I'm the one doing it. But it really isolates you and causes you to live a life separate and alone, especially because of that shame piece. We unpack that a lot in the book, of the shame specifically for being a woman struggling with this, because no one's really talking about it. But that shame isolates us from God and others. And so, yeah, there's a lot of negative and the negative implications it has on our bodies and our brains that you don't think about when you're doing it.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting because the people that are going to be asking for help sometimes don't always recognize those connections. They're asking for help because they go, for some, you know, this is starting to be a disruption in my life. Like, I'm not getting work done, or I'm not talking to my husband anymore, or I'm not, you know, just fill in the blank with what the presenting symptom is, right? And they might not draw the hard line connection to, oh, you know what, this is porn and some of the underlying factors that are part of that. Can you just talk about, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to add in that for women too, there's another element where there's different types of pornography that women particularly are drawn to, like erotica, which is written porn, or more romance porn. And sadly, the porn industry knows what women like and are marketing, creating stuff specifically for us. And so we unpack that a little bit of how, you know, something you might not think is porn actually is. Like, even some of the stuff we're watching on TV and social media has such an impact on us, and women are getting drawn in and sucked into that. So we unpack that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, the very next chapter, you go into the love of God. Before we actually get into that, can you talk about just the juxtaposition of the divisive nature of porn and the unifying sort of integrative nature of God's love, and how those things are just diametrically opposed to one another?
Such a good question. And, you know, the biggest lie I find women believing who are struggling with this is God doesn't love me anymore because of my struggle. And I was there. I believe that lie. That some of them, Jonathan, even think they're too far gone for even to be saved. Like, they think it impacts their salvation. And so we have some big theological issues here. And so, yes, porn does isolate, separate us. That's what sin does. Any sin separates us from God. And then you have God's love, who I love going back to the power of the cross, right? Because we see that Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, right? So often we think, oh, I got to clean up my act. I got to be perfect. Stop looking at porn for 10 days, whatever, to come to God, when that's so far from the truth. God is calling us back to Him where you are right now, no matter when you're struggling, what your life is like. He loves you now. And so that is key to help women, because to be able to run back to God and have that relationship with Him, they have to unpack that lie of why they don't even think they can have a relationship with Him right now.
Now, I'm sure that we have a lot of listeners right now that actually believe what you just said, that, hey, I understand the cross. I've actually believed in that. I've had my faith in Christ. But it's not so easy to go from like a cognitive understanding and belief of that,
right,
to the point where you really believe down in your bones that God's love truly is enough. So how do you help navigate that pathway, or what are some of the obstacles along that pathway that need to be overcome in order to be able to finally realize, okay, I am fully and completely and wholly and eternally loved?
It's so true, because so many of this is just a Sunday school response. Like you said, you hear it in church, but what does it mean, and how do you actually apply it? And so much of it, I think, is a relearning of scripture, because maybe you haven't actually spent time studying the Bible or reading God's word. Maybe God just feels so distant. And so your character, your belief about who God is, isn't actually accurate. Like, so often we think of God as like, He's up there making these rules, He's so judgmental, that kind of thing. And we don't think about how He can be our best friend, how He can be our Father. That's a huge one we unpack in the book, because so many women have daddy wounds or father wounds, and they're trying to unpack. And so they portray that on their father and on God and think, well, if my dad, earthly dad, didn't love me, then my heavenly Father, He's not going to love me either. And so we unpack that. So honestly, Jonathan, I think a lot of it is just a misunderstanding of who God is. And so we have to go back to the basics of studying scripture. And for me, actually, like, if we get practical, when I was walking through my recovery journey, so much of it was actually sitting at Panera, opening my Bible with a woman who was discipling me and reading God's word and talking about it, because I needed a re-education of who God was and what the word says about sexuality, because all of it for me was just filled with shame and not correct. Mm-hmm.
And everything you're talking about here, Joy, I think can really be boiled down to this idea of what does it actually mean to bear God's image? It's identity, right? And if you think about what sexual brokenness and what pornography does, it starts to try to distort and mar that image that we have of being made in God's image, that there is a sense in which we are to be a reflection of Him. And so what you're talking about saying, hey, I'm getting in this discipleship relationship where we're just going back into the Word. I want to see who God is, who He's made me to be, how all that integrates together. And that's one of the areas that then you eventually go to. I'm not going to go through every single chapter in the book. We don't have time for that. But I want to jump to one where you talk about then pursuing sexual integrity. So maybe talk about that, because we've talked about kind of the divisiveness of porn and how it sort of fractures your life. God loves us, right? But what does it actually mean then to pursue sexual integrity? What does that look like? First of all, what does that mean? And then what does that look like?
Right. So it's a phrase. I'm glad we're unpacking it, because it is kind of confusing. So if you think of the word integrity, it comes from integer, meaning like pieces or parts of the whole. And so when we think of integrity, we want our sexuality to impact everything about us. So we are fully sexual beings and we are fully spiritual beings. Sometimes we tend to separate them, where we think, oh, how could we be both? You know, how could God, who is so holy, have created us as a sexual being and for it to be good? And so learning how to integrate every part of us in singleness and in marriage, it's not, you don't become sexual when you get married. Like, you are a sexual being from the day you're born, which is crazy for some people to think about. But so it's figuring out how that is good, what to do with those sexual desires, how to steward them, and it's a daily act of like surrendering to God and obeying Him. I feel like for me, even today, it's just continual walking by faith and surrendering these things to Him. So that's kind of to break down the definition a little bit, but I think big picture, this can look, you can do this in a lot of ways. So you can do this in community, like finding a group of other Christians who are also navigating this, because you can feel and touch and experience God's love through other people. So that's a beautiful aspect as well. But yeah, Jonathan, your ministry is so good at this. Do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I want to ask a few more questions, unpack that even a little further, because I do think sometimes when we say something like, you know, and there's multiple terms that have been used in this. We talk about sexual integrity or sexual purity or sexual wholeness even. And sometimes there can be we can get this notion that there's a static nature to that. Like, it's a destination that we will permanently and perfectly arrive at. So like, even when you mentioned about wholeness, you're like, somebody might take that and go, okay, well, what if I'm still broken? Like, am I out of favor, or do I have no hope? So I like the fact that that chapter title, you said pursuing sexual integrity. Can you talk about how what you even just mentioned about integrity is a journey, not a destination?
I love that. And yes, because recovery, it's not going to happen in a weekend. I mean, you could experience radical healing in a weekend, but it is a journey. That's why I love that we use that word, because it's ongoing, and new things might happen in your life that causes you to realize, oh, more parts of me are exposed that need healing. It's just like the word sanctification. Like, we as Christians are continually in a process to become more like Christ. I think our healing journey is the same way, where more is going to be exposed and need to be unpacked throughout our life. And for some people that might be a discouraging, but I don't know. I think it's, there's beauty in the more you realize how broken you are, the more you need Jesus. And I feel like that's been my story, where it's like, I'll feel like, oh, I finally am making it, but it's not about me. Like, if we think about that we need to do it all on our own, we there lose sight of the gospel. So it's Jesus working through us to help us on that journey piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, one of the chapters that you have is entitled Ditching Lies and Embracing Truth. So what are some of the key lies that need to be ditched and be replaced with truth?
Oh my goodness. So many. Jonathan, this could have been a whole book. We had to keep cutting lies. You know, there were just so many that I find that I was believing, the women we do ministry with were believing, but they all boil down to not understanding who God is, not understanding who we are, so that identity piece that you talked about, maybe a lie that the enemy is kind of twisting, like, oh, I deserve this. That's one. You know, I had a really hard day at work. I deserve to come home and relax. Or I'm really not that bad because I'm not hooking up with someone in person. So this is okay. So some of those different lies, you know, that we believe we deserve it. It's not that bad. Or even lies that, like, I'm always going to struggle with this, that keeps you stuck in the ditch. There are just so many. And one thing I love about that chapter is we actually have a chart where we help women write down the lies they're actually believing and counter them with some truth, some scripture, so that they can actually begin working through those lies. Because it's one thing to realize, hey, you know, I'm believing all these things. What do we do about it? And so there's truth that can counter those and help us in that process.
Yeah, we do a similar thing in our ministry, and we dub those shame lies, because a lot of them are rooted in those lies about our identity, right? and sometimes they're hard to pick up on because for two reasons. Maybe one, they don't seem on its face like it's a bold-faced lie, but also because they've sort of been being played in our minds over and over and over again to where we're just like, this is just part of who I am. Right. I'll give you one quick example, even in my own life. One of my core shame lies from early on in my life is I must be perfect. So there's a perfectionism. That's actually a lie. God, you know, even so the idea is I can't be perfect. So the lie is that I have to be the one that, like, is perfect. And so then that causes all kinds of other lies to come out of it, because I'm going to start presenting an image so that people can see me the way I want them to see me instead of what's really going on. So talk a little bit more about, then you talk about ditching the lies and embracing the truth. And you said to name a specific lie and then point to the truth. What does that look like? Let's say at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on any given day where all of a sudden this lie gets triggered or whatever, this lie pops into somebody's head. How do you take that and practically apply it in the daily life of ditching the lie and embracing the truth?
Yeah. And this is such a process because, like you said, those shame lies, I love that phrasing you used, start at a very early age. Like, you can look back and see. And so some of these women, you know, you've been believing these lies for decades. So giving yourself grace, like, as you're going through this healing process, as you're exposing these things, it's going to take time. And so we share that with women to give them hope, like, you know, don't expect this isn't going to be overnight. And then I would just say, you know, as these things pop up, that's why we encourage them to create a toolbox, which is basically a list of things you can go to. And that could be scripture. It could be phone numbers of friends you can call. Maybe you like to exercise. Maybe it's a playlist of worship songs. Something practical you can do in that moment, because when it pops in, either if it's a trigger or a temptation, a lie, it's so much easier to just turn to porn, right? Like, instead of in that moment of thinking through, okay, what could I do? What could I turn to? What's the actual truth here? And so to be able, I actually use my phone notes. So in my phone, I have a note and I have it all listed down, and I encourage women to do that, because you always have your phone. You just pull it out. Okay, these are some things I can process. And so having those verses there too, you can pause and meditate on them. And again, that's one of those things that's easier said than done. You really have to actually sit down and make that toolbox. But I have found it really helpful for women to think through these things and have them ready.
Yeah, that's so good. And it really is a moment by moment thing. And I love the fact that you said it's a grace journey. None of us are going to, you know, just writing down a shame lie and then writing a verse next to it isn't immediately going to transform the rest of your life around that lie. It does take even some discipline, like what you're talking about there. You know, one of the one of the chapters that I just loved the title to, you said, "Stop trying so hard." Talk about that, because here's the thing. So many people, when they think about, first of all, when they get to the point where they're willing to even admit, I am addicted. I mean, I'm out of control. I'm not able to stop this on my own. They immediately think recovery is about just trying harder. So why do you say stop trying so hard? What are you talking about?
Right. This was one of my favorite titles. I think it was fun. You get to be creative with some of the chapter titles. But yeah, so on my journey, so many people, Jonathan, told me, oh, just stop doing it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I'm trying really hard. Almost, you hear that phrase, white knuckling your way through something, like you're trying so hard. But there is so much freedom when you open your hands and release that and you realize, hey, I can't do this on my own. I can't keep trying harder. That's where you invite people in to help you, whether that's a recovery ministry or a small group or a book like ours. But most importantly, you're inviting Jesus in to help because you can't do it on your own. And so often we try and try and try. And I think too, there's something about your brain, like the more you think about something, right, the more the more you want to do it. And yeah. I actually stopped encouraging my women to count days. Like they were so focused on, oh, let me just get to day 10 or today's day 15. But then what happens is day 16 comes and they look at porn and they just feel so much shame and guilt, like they completely failed. And I'm like, guys, it's not about what you do in that moment. Or it's not about, let me rephrase this. It's about what we do that moment. So are you going to run to shame and hide in isolation, or are you going to run to God? And the quicker each time that you run back to him and confess and repent, that shows your progress on your healing and freedom journey. So I try and encourage them to focus on that. Focus on some of the big picture things, then counting the days kind of sums it up with stop trying so hard.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. Cause one of our little axioms that we use is we say feet follow focus, meaning that whatever you're actually focused on, you're going to move in that direction. Your behaviors are going to go in that direction. So one of the things that we stopped doing was telling people to say, stop using porn or stop watching porn. Because even if you frame it in the negative, you're still focused on what? Porn. Right. So if you get up in the morning and say, don't look at porn today, well, you've already started focusing on that.
Yeah,
it's kind of like saying, you know, don't think about a pink elephant. Don't think about a pink elephant. Don't think. And you just start thinking about it. So I love what you're saying, because it's positive momentum. It's saying this isn't about trying to really do two things at once. You're not necessarily trying to stop looking at porn and then follow Jesus. You're saying, no, I want to have my focus on Jesus because he'll never leave me to porn. Right.
Right. And I love that. It goes back to what we were saying about the identity piece is so key. And just a story I'll share. So when I was first starting this ministry, all these things, and I share this in the book, someone said to me, are you sure you want to be known as porn girl? And so my identity, that was really hard for me because I'm thinking, no, I don't want to be known as porn girl. I don't want my identity to be in my struggle, but that's what people are going to think of me. And so then Zach, my husband, we were dating at the time, he said to me, you're not porn girl, you're freedom girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's how it should be. Our focus, our identity should be in that freedom piece, even if we're still struggling, but we already are free in Christ versus, oh, I'm porn girl. Just that negative mentality, it almost keeps you stuck there versus, you know, freedom girl. And so that's kind of my hope too, is to help people change their perspective and their mindset to focus on Christ instead of the addiction.
And that's a great segue to even what you get to near the end of the book, which is when your story becomes a weapon. Can you talk about that and really the hope that may give to somebody right now who feels like I'm drowning. I can't see anything positive in my story or ever coming from my story.
Yeah. So Julie asked me, she said, well, how do you want this book to end? Like, what was encouraging for you on your journey? And I said to her, you know, the most encouraging part was when I was able to use my story to help someone else. Like that for me made it all feel worth it. Like all the struggle, all the pain, it felt worth it because, hey, now I can help someone else. And so that's kind of our redirection at the end and encouragement of, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for this, even though you might not see it now, even though the pain is so real and you're like, how much longer, God? I just truly believe that he's going to use every tear and everything you're going through to help and encourage someone else. So yeah, we talk about how there's healing in sharing our story, maybe with a friend, a counselor, a safe person. We unpack what safe is, you know, someone who doesn't gossip, someone who would give you godly wisdom and counsel. So someone safe, and then so it heals you, but then you can use your story to help heal someone else. And so it's just a beautiful way. I think it ties everything up and just an encouragement and points people back to the gospel, because that's really what this is. Like my story, my pain just points back to why I needed Jesus to heal and restore me and set me free.
So as we get close to wrapping up here, Joy, what would you say to the person out there that is just feeling like they don't know if they can take their next step? They feel like, I've got the secret. I have never really told anybody about this, or I've only kind of maybe dribbled out a few little things here, but I mean, I'm so scared. What would you say to that woman out there to give her maybe some hope to take a next step?
Yeah. So for you, thanks for listening to this. And I hope it encourages you and that you don't feel alone, because I have been there. I was in your shoes. I know the struggle. And I would just encourage you, the first step in all of this is to bring it into the light, because the enemy thrives in darkness. He wants you to stay in bondage and shame. He doesn't want you to experience freedom. And so that first step is just such a key moment in your life. And so some things you could do is you could join, and we have online book studies at Authentic Intimacy groups. There's other groups, that other ministries that have groups as well. But you know that that's a safe place. You know that other women are looking for a similar experience, similar community, a place to share their story. So that would be a great place. Also a biblical counselor, a certified sex therapist, that would be a great place. I am now offering one-on-one coaching online. So if you're looking for that, I'd love to walk through your journey with you. So there's lots of safe spaces and people, but I totally get the fear element and the shame that might be keeping you locked up. But oh gosh, I just promise you that it's worth it. It is worth it to take that brave step, because you can look back and that can be shameful part. You can get rid of it.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, Joy, this has been a great conversation. Where can our listeners and viewers go to get the book, but also learn more about what you're doing at Authentic Intimacy?
Yeah, so it's a beautiful purple book. If you're watching the video, we have it here, Her Freedom Journey, on Amazon or anywhere you buy books. But we'd love to connect. If you want to head to our website, AuthenticIntimacy.com. We have so many free resources, and we have a membership community if you want to dive deeper into our content. And I'd love to connect with you on Instagram at Joy Skarka. And if you're ever looking for something, part of what I do is I just help you find it. So if you're like, oh, I can't find a blog on your website on this, let me know. I'm here and would love to plug you into the resource that you're looking for.
That's so good. Well, Joy, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. And I'm so excited for this book and the many women that are going to be helped by it. But thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put a lot of great info that Joy's been talking about into our show notes today. Please check all of that out. And as always, we're here to help you take your next best step towards wholeness in Christ. So please reach out. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.